The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Executive Director Ray Anderson. These are podcasts, interviews, discussions we have with our members who have a wide variety of services for you, small, medium, large businesses in and around the greater New Haven area. And one of our members who is with us this year, who's joined in, and what timeliness we have going into the winter season, particularly with thinking of how the sun can energize your energy efforts to lower your costs. Jason Marmot from the Energy Enthusiast. Today, our topic, of course, solar. Jason, welcome. It's good to have you here at the podcast.
Awesome, Ray. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk everything energy with all the people out there.
You know, there's so much that we know but don't know about energy because it's complex. And for our area towns, Wallingford, of course, being excluded, has its own electric plant. But if you're in North Haven, if you're in Meriden, North Brantford, Durham, Hamden, New Haven, all around the region, you service so many of these communities where solar is applicable.
Yeah, that's true. So it's funny. I'm actually a Wallingford resident myself, and actually living in Wallingford, seeing that we have our own, you know, electric plant is like the equivalent of getting solar outside of Wallingford. You know, obviously the mission here is because it's so expensive right now to deliver power. You know, being able to generate on site or having something in town is going to reduce those costs, and that's kind of what we work with.
Yes. So solar energy in its journey and what it's what is happening today, like any new technology, when it starts out in its salad days and its infancy, it's maybe a little unwieldy. Maybe it's a little expensive, perhaps, to install in the earliest days, or maybe the technology wasn't nailed down entirely. But it's evolved over the last couple of decades to be a very viable energy source.
Yeah, that's true. So it's funny, the panels themselves are not evolving at a rate that you would think with the way technology kind of curves up. The efficiency gets a little bit better every year. I'd say more when you think about like battery storage and backup, that's the stuff you'll probably see bigger incremental changes in. You're kind of seeing a change in maybe like the size of the panels or how efficient they can be. So you can possibly use less panels on a house, but it's nice because like you said, the technology is very affordable today. There's a lot of government money involved in this stuff and a lot of ways to get customers equipment at no charge or even buying it where over the course of time, you see a huge return on investment if it's going to be a life home or something you pass along to like family members, kids, grandkids, something like that.
Well, other forms of utilities, for example, gas, we know electric and certainly oil, those rates and all of that sort of fluctuates. It's been my experience that over 365 days of the year, the sun does rise.
Correct.
Yeah. That's true. So let's talk about the regularity of solar and the consistency of it. I mean, that is one of the benefits.
Yeah. So the biggest benefit to solar, I'll give you an easy analogy, right? So the reason power is so expensive, I kind of alluded before, is that in Connecticut specifically, and we do service other markets, but I'm going to focus mainly today on Connecticut. Basically all of our power comes from out of state. So really, if you look at your bill, you're going to see two charges, your supply cost and your delivery cost. So the delivery is almost half your bill now because basically everything coming from out of state, you're paying for that route for the power to get to you. So it's like if you ordered a pizza, right, from New York, pizza could still be the same, you know, 15, 20 bucks as if you ordered it from Connecticut. But having them drive it all the way down to your house, you're going to pay, you know, $100 to get that pizza to you. And solar is the same concept. So when you're able to produce power right on site from your house, directly into your house, there is no delivery charge. It's right there coming into the house. And that's what makes the difference in being able to save people money on their utilities. On top of some other benefits, there's a free energy audit, which helps them become more efficient too. So I don't like to just shoehorn just saving on your electricity bill, because at the end of the day, that's part of it. But there's a little bit more that encompasses in there So that's what I wanted to share right now on that.
Let's talk about the solar panels themselves. We see the solar farms, for example, that are all scattered around Connecticut, but on top of the households, what it's like to do the installation. So if we're actually looking at a house, and just say I have a standard ranch house, with one gabled roof, what would it be like? What would you be looking to do on that roof for solar that would make a big difference in someone's energy costs?
Yeah, so I can kind of walk you through the process that we do. So it's pretty simple. One nice thing I'd like to highlight is that basically my big value add for my clients is I'm the project manager the entire way through. Basically, all I ask of anybody I work with is all you have to do is be there at the appointments. You may have to hop on a phone call every once in a while with, our installers, but really I take care of all the stuff on the back end. I'm a consumer too, so I know nobody likes being on the phone, for hours on end, so I like to take care of that. So that being said, kind of a typical process through solar is first I'll have like an initial call just to kind of find out what the landscape of that person looks like. Okay, you have a a ranch house, you have a colonial, whatever the case may be. And then usually the easiest thing we do is, hey, just send me a copy of your most recent utility bill. That's going to show us your last 12 months of usage, and that's what we need in order to determine how to size the system for you. Once we have that info, I actually will create a design. And then that design is going to show us, what the savings would look like. I've had, no instances so far where I haven't been able to save somebody money. There may be cases though where that's true, and if it is, hey, we'll let you know when we'll shake hands and kind of move on. But in most cases, we get that design back, and then I'll call and set up an actual appointment to come down and meet with you and say, hey, let's review everything, go over it, and then that way you're armed with that information to make the best choice for you. Assuming everything looks good. And you'd like to move forward. The next part of the process is, there is a credit check that we do. So as long as you pass that, then we would give you the agreement that has all the terms and conditions as initially outlined with the system. And then what we would do from there is actually do what's called a site survey. So that's kind of the most important step. That's what really firms up everything and makes sure that this is going to be a reality. So there's no real commitment yet on either side's end, right? Mine or our installers or the customer, which is nice. So there's kind of that on both ends you're kind of secured because nothing's really going to go through until we really firm and finalize and make sure this is a reality. So the site survey, what they're going to do is they're actually going to check the home, they're going to check the roof, make sure it's structurally stable, make sure that your electrical is up to code, that they're going to have to swap out your meter, so they check everything involving your meter, and then they do like a shading study. So that's really important because they actually can calculate with today's technology like how many sun hours you get within a year, and that's going to let us know if we can actually support the system that we initially designed. Because trees, where you're located, the way the roof is facing, all those things are factors that you can't really tell even from, a Google Maps over, looking overhead. So the site survey is really what helps us determine and really qualify what we can do with the projects. Now, once we get that information back, then we can say, hey, everything looks good, we'll keep moving forward, or hey, we have to make some changes, or I've already had some customers, hey, you got to take a couple trees down, and then we'll be able to do the quote as is, or we can change it, if you'd like to go with a different quote. Then from there we take care of the and more stuff on the back end. I know it's kind of a long process here, but it's nice. So we do the permitting, we pay for all of that. So the customer, just to specify too, I know I'm kind of going through a lot, but the customer doesn't pay anything out of pocket unless they actually get installed. So all this stuff is on our end. There's nothing financially that comes out of the customer's pocket. And I like to highlight that too, because there's no risk for them unless they actually go through with the entire process. So we'll do permitting. We firm up the final design. Once that's all set and approved, then we'll talk to the customer and say, hey, when would you like to get installed? Once we schedule the install and that goes through, there's a couple more steps before they actually get turned on and start paying with the new system. So they have to get a town inspection. And then once that's good, we do an interconnection with the utility company because they're still always technically integrated with the utility grid. So, in times where they maybe not be drawing enough power for their solar system, they would actually pull from the grid. And there is a crediting program where you can sell energy back to the grid, but I don't want to get too complicated right now. So after they've been interconnected into the grid, then they get what's called permission to operate, where it's where the system actually gets turned on, and they'll start getting their bill through the solar company, and they're good to go. That whole process probably typically, if everything runs smoothly, I'd say it takes about 1 to 2 months in that time frame. Getting turned on, yeah, I no, no, I'm sorry, I take that back. I'd say that whole process time frame probably takes about 2 to 3 months to be completely turned on and good to go. The install for the system being on your roof can probably be about a month to a month and a half, and then it's just the back end stuff to actually get it to operate. But it's pretty smooth and seamless, and the customer just has to basically be at the appointments. There's one, appointment to do some paperwork, and we're basically good to go.
Great. Wow, that was an excellent, excellent explanation and detail, Jason. That's perfect. Question I had too is sort of the infrastructure of the house, because we're in New England and we have all sorts of architecture. We have all sorts of roofs, all sorts of layouts, and all sorts of topography too. I mean, it's complicated in some respects. What should I know about if I have roofing, for example, that's on the base? Should I get a new roof first? Should I wait? Does it make a difference? And how do roofers work with this technology?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great question. And what's nice is, so like you said, what's great about New England, it's a great market. We don't have the highest adoption rate. So right now, a lot of the credits and kickbacks are very well from the government, and because we need more people to adopt renewable energy sources. So it's a great time to look into solar or other forms of renewable energy or ways to be more energy efficient. That being said, really, when the site survey is going to let the customer know if there's anything that has to get done. Now, if you're considering getting a new roof, we would always recommend you do it before you get the panels. If you did happen to get them and wanted to do it later, we do have options to remove them, store them, put them back on after. But the reason I say it's best to do it ahead of time is because solar will actually protect a new roof. Some people don't even realize what's great though is when the panels are up there, it keeps animals away. They're so warm that if it snows, they'll actually melt the snow, so it's not sitting there on your actual roof. And another nice guarantee that comes with our installation, there's a 10-year roof penetration warranty when we do installs on our power purchase agreement model, which is generally considered a lease. What's nice about that is the first 10 years, if there's ever a leak, there's an insurance policy on your house. We cover anything, any damages, anything that happens like that. So I haven't ever had a case of that yet, knock on wood, which is great. But even if something did come up, it's covered. So I always recommend, hey, if you're going to get a new roof, do that first, then get the panels on there, protect your investment. And we also have roofers and people that we work with that are reputable to get a great price if the customer doesn't have somebody they know either. So that's just another added benefit as we work with a lot of different vendors to help make sure that this is an all-encompassing process that we can take care of for our customers.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you're involved in this and you're very passionate about this work and this line of work. When I look up at the sun, usually with sunglasses, thankfully, or a little visor, you realize the potency and the power of the sunshine, and how many hours we have of it. We think we don't. But we don't live in upstate New York or Seattle or these other places that seem to be cloudy all the time. We do have a lot of sunshine here in Connecticut.
Yeah, no, it's great. And actually, what people don't realize is the solar panels actually absorb the UV rays. So even if it is cloudy, you're still going to get some production, which is great. And actually, this would probably be a good time for me to talk about the net meter program or the tariff metering program. So what's great is that on the lease model that we have for our system, where the customer doesn't pay anything up front for the system, and they just pay a monthly price like you would to your electric company nowadays. In Connecticut, we have a netting tariff program, and what that allows the customer to do is actually sell excess energy back to the grid. So like I said before, you're always still connected to the grid because generally in like spring and summer, when we have more sun, you're going to produce more on your system. In fall and winter, you may produce a little bit less. So you may still have to pull some energy in the grid to power your home. What's great is that you build up credits with solar over time. So those credits will sit forever. They don't go away. And basically, if you ever have to pull from the grid, you basically will never get a bill if you're, as long as your system is sized to cover all of your needs and produce a little bit extra, which is what we always try to do. You'll always be able to pull from the grid and never have to pay the utility company. And basically, you'll be selling back to them to help power other people, which also helps protect against like rolling brownouts or even potential blackouts because there's more energy back in the system for other people to pull, which is great.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've had some surprises too. Some people who are just happy customers, not that that's a surprise, but they would not have envisioned solar at all until you actually sat down and talked with them and explained it to them. So let's talk about that first consultation. You explained the whole process, but I think for some people who are just saying, solar for some strange reason, I don't know why, seems a little new agey to me, a little bit of an alternative energy source. It's like putting a wind farm in my backyard, but it's very, very mainstream right now. So sit down and talk about it. And what's that first conversation like?
Yeah, so what I actually like to do before I even start talking about the system itself is do a little bit of a background on solar and how it's beneficial for not only the client, but for the solar companies and for the government at a state and federal level. Because I think when you see the big picture, you understand why it makes a lot more sense. You know, at the end of the day, sometimes numbers just speak to a lot of homeowners, right? Like same thing with somebody like me. Hey, I can save you money. Okay, cool, that's great. But I like to kind of go a little bit more beyond that. You know, that's going to naturally happen, but why this is important for the long term. And I think about, like, for me, my kids or my great grandkids, like, we're actually doing something really great for the country. So, what I usually highlight is, you know, there's a lot of money that comes from the federal and government side that does go into these programs that either goes back to the solar companies or the client if the client buys the system outright. But the reason it's important is because our grid today is not set up to be sustainable any longer. We already have energy issue problems. You can see that there's brownouts. There's, you know, they have to turn energy down. People, you know, are losing power and they're having trouble getting power to places. It's very expensive to continue running lines above ground, and then they're exposed to the elements when you have it that way. But last thing I read online was it's 10 times more expensive to do energy underground, and then you have the issue if there's something or a break in the power, they have to go dig and find it. So there's a lot of cost to dealing with that, even though it's protected from the elements. It's a very easy analogy that I like to use is, you know, right now you've got your transformer outside that brings power to your house, right? That's owned by the utility company. They take care of everything. Our most popular model being the, you know, PPA lease model, the power purchase agreement. When we put the solar on your roof, that's still owned by the solar company unless you decide to buy it outright. But generally, we do the power purchase agreement. And so they are the ones that take care of everything, protect everything, insure it, monitor it. You just get the benefits of cheaper power. So you don't have to worry about anything, you know, aside from the equipment being on your roof. But as I said before, it's all insured and taken care of. So there's really no risk in today's market to the homeowner. About the only complaint with solar that I think most people in the industry, it's the hardest, I don't want to say hardest one to get around, but it's probably the one that's got the most legitimacy is maybe just I don't like how it looks, right? Other than that, it's cheaper power, it's cleaner energy, it's better for the environment, it's helping to build an infrastructure long term where we can guarantee power being distributed. Because, you know, in today's day and age, and before this, I used to work for a technology company. There's how many devices in a household between TVs, tablets, phones, you know, Wi-Fi systems. This isn't going to be sustainable to provide power to all this stuff in the future. So having solar and then other forms of renewable energy like wind and water and things like that are class one types of renewable energy are going to be very important to the future of our country. So it's kind of nice to say, like, hey, not only am I adopting something that's kind of current, this is going to set our country up for long term so that our kids, kids, kids are going to be able to have sources of energy. And to me, that's kind of a what really sealed the deal for me being passionate about solar and renewable energy in general. Right now, I only work with solar, but if there's options to get into other things in the future, I'm all about it because I want to set the future generations up to be able to have, you know, a bright future, you know, pun intended.
Absolutely. That's a great way to conclude our conversation. A bright future, solar, certainly an energy source, power source here to come for many, many years. So, Jason, the energy enthusiast, I know you've got your website and quickly how people can get in contact with you and get information they need about solar.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of hit the ground running. So my website, if you go to see it is myenergyenthusiast.com. I couldn't get the, unfortunately, but myenergyenthusiast, which is also what my email is at. It's still I'm still working on getting that up and running. I've been working with so many people just from word of mouth and friends and family. So the website's kind of on the back burner. But what's great is I have a business phone number, business email, and I do have a business virtual business card, which is what I most commonly use. Easiest thing you could do, you can call me directly. It's 203-626-1769. Or you can email me. It's kind of a long email, but it's my first name, Jason, period, my last name, Marmot, at myenergyenthusiast.com. So
Perfect.
kind of a long email, but by all means, please call me, email me. Reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to anybody. And like I said, there's no risk for the customer, the client up front. I'm just happy to show you what's out there and then you decide what's best for you and your family.
My energy enthusiast, the energy enthusiast. That's Jason Marmot. Thanks so much, Jason, for we learned a lot about solar and for your company today. Thanks for being on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast.
I appreciate it, Ray. Thank you, and everybody have a bright, sunny day.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quincham.com. That's randrewson@quincham.com.